is Free Talk Live. We'll give you the toll-free call-in line momentarily where you can join us on this very special day.
It is special, isn't it?
It's like New Year's for stoners.
Or Christmas, or all of them rolled up into one.
Something got rolled up for sure on the steps of the New Hampshire State House where me and Heather were earlier. The me is Daryl.
And Heather.
And Chris.
I'm back.
She's back.
Yeah,
we missed 2 weeks. It feels like forever.
It was 2 weeks, wasn't it?
Yep. Because I flew out on a Thursday, but I was only supposed to be gone for like 4 days. So you guys all know because I called in one night when Ian was hosting.
So for people that don't know, where were you?
Oh, God. I was chasing Adam Kokesh around D.C. pretty much because he ended up getting arrested outside the White House.
What kind of a heinous crime did he commit?
Oh, God.
Dear.
This sounds serious. He killed a bunch of people. No, I'm just kidding. Right.
No, he got paid for that.
He made an inappropriate comment to the TSA back in like 2015. That's not why he got arrested in D.C. He was given a citation for making an inappropriate comment.
Okay.
And that citation ended up getting like disputed, and so
he missed a court date.
He was given a court date. He didn't go to the court date because he was on the other side of the country. But then after the missed court date, he got a letter from the TSA stating that they basically their internal investigation, the wording of the language within the letter had said like you may have done something that disrupted airport security that day,
right,
but we're going to reduce it to a warning and
stay out
of trouble.
So this is akin to the people that wind up getting arrested where the only charge that winds up sticking into trial is resisting arrest.
Right.
You didn't do anything wrong. We shouldn't have arrested you, but
we got to come up with something.
You should have helped us put the handcuffs on, resisting arrest.
It's basically like the equivalent of getting a parking ticket that you don't pay, and then the state ends up like prosecuting that parking because it's not even a misdemeanor. It was a criminal citation out of the Baltimore airport.
It's more akin to you get a parking ticket, you're given a court date, you forget to show up for the court date, or you otherwise, just don't show up, and then the officer that wrote the ticket saying,
"Get a warrant.
Oh, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have written the ticket," but you still have the failure to appear because you didn't show up to court.
Right. So I was confused by the whole thing, and I asked you somewhat facetiously because I did read up on this a little bit, but the letter that I read made it look like we looked at this and there's really nothing to do from here. Well, and that was after he had got a court date?
No, yeah.
That was
but
after
see, the
he
thing
missed
is,
the court date.
So one of the many places that I went when I was there was like the state attorney's office in Maryland. So they're the ones that was like prosecuting him and for this failure to appear. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I went there and she explained to me that the TSA that this whole thing originated from is separate from like the MDTA or something, which is like this police. I forget what it stands for. But
Maryland Transportation Association or something like that.
Yeah,
of course. It's
so
a federal
those
agency.
Police, the MDTA, are the ones that issued the citation, not the TSA.
Did he ever?
So the TSA's letter to him is from the TSA's own internal investigation where they could have civilly charged him with up to a set amount.
Sure.
So their own internal investigation, which is what the whole thing was about, they're the one that pushed the little button and said he did something worth warranting the MDTA to come over there and issue the citation. But because the MDTA wrote the ticket, it has nothing to do with the TSA. Basically, the TSA would just be a witness at that point.
This just reminds me of how efficient our government can operate.
Right. So the entire thing is, again, because he missed a court date.
Yeah.
So, for something where he never should have been given a court date, but they didn't decide he shouldn't have been given a court date until after he missed the court date.
It just doesn't matter, Daryl. He needs to show up.
Yeah, this is the worst part about it, though, right? Is there we are going to Washington, D.C. to protest these drone strikes over, the ones that the president illegally did without seeking congressional approval, which is against the law. I mean, we saw this back in 2013 when Obama tried to do it. And
he didn't just try, he did.
Yeah.
And then 2009 and 2015 and, every year, and 2016.
26,000 bombs later and how many cruise missiles?
Sure. In 2013, over 100 members of Congress wrote a letter to Obama saying that he needed to seek congressional approval before doing something like an act of war like that.
And he didn't listen to Congress? Oh, my God.
And they didn't impeach him either.
They did not impeach him.
My issue is, like, where is Congress now? Because we were there protest. Like the whole reason we did this protest is because Adam had gone online and he looked at, like, the Iraq Veterans Against the War and Veterans for Peace and all these other different organizations to see, okay, who's protesting Donald Trump? And it just seemed like there was... Other than I think it was like Answer Coalition or something like that.
Right.
And as someone else, there was really nothing going on. So we're like, oh, let's do this, protest. And we get there and within, 15 minutes of being there, Secret Service is like, are you Adam Kokesh?
Part of the reason I'm not like a party guy anymore, and I spent decades in the Republican Party, and I've not joined the Libertarian Party or any other party after I left the Republicans, is it's Congress behaves one way when there's it's a Republican Congress, has been for quite some time, but they behave totally differently when there's a Democrat in the White House versus a Republican in the White House, and it shouldn't be that way. You should be holding your oath to the Constitution, irregardless of who's holding the executive branch, and they don't do it, and it frustrates me to no end. Of course I applauded them when they brought up the constitutional issues against Obama. Yes, good to go. But now it's like, okay, we got a Republican in there, so we can't talk about that anymore.
Right.
Yeah, it is really a different attitude.
If you go back 20 years to when, the Republicans in Congress actually wound up doing this unheard of thing of balancing the budget.
Right.
Although, there's arguably tricky math that was being used to say that the budget was balanced. But then George Bush got elected president in 2000, and then what happened? I would say they spent like drunken sailors, but that would be offensive to drunken sailors, because once they run out of money, they stop spending.
Right.
And then, all of a sudden, there's a Republican Congress and a Democratic president, and the Republicans didn't even attempt to balance the budget. They never attempted to even pass a budget.
Yeah, so I guess it just underscores that D.C. is more about playing games than it is actually getting things done or doing at all.
I wouldn't even call those games.
They're like reindeer games.
Yeah. No,
it was a cluster fudge, since we're on the radio.
Nicely done.
Like, it was bad, right? Like, so Cape Cod, where I'm originally from, the government there, it's like... It's terrible, but it's like smaller scale. So like localization, right? I saw firsthand trying to get answers in D.C. when he was arrested, like just how impossible it is to get anywhere there. It's like every man for himself, right? Like once the Secret Service picks you up and he's hauled away in that van, it's like you're in the belly of the beast and no one's getting to you. And it doesn't matter where you go, who you ask, like the government agencies there, like whether it's the clerk's office or the people at the jails or the people you call on the phone, they all blatantly lie to your face. Like I got lied to, literally lied to, and they don't care because they can do it and there's no recourse. There's no person to call because you call someone to report them and they lie too.
Sure.
And the whole thing is just like no one cares.
Right. And the one thing I will point out is this. If you are an activist... If you have made it your mission in life to forward your cause and you're ruffling feathers along the way, it doesn't matter if you're a liberty activist or any other type of activist, the government knows who you are.
Yes.
They will follow where you're at.
Yes.
And if they've got anything that they can pin you, pin on you and grab you and yank you off the street, throw you into a black van and speed out of there, they will do it. Adam Kokesh is a good example of that. And that should worry people of every political stripe. This is a tyrannical government.
Yeah,
and has been for a long, long time. Your calls and thoughts welcome, whether it's about tyrannical governments, activists getting arrested by tyrannical governments, or people getting warrants for refusing to show up to a court case they never should have had. All of that is welcome. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. This is Free Talk Live. This is Free Talk Live. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. In studio, it's Daryl.
And Heather.
And Chris.
And have you ever wanted to start your own website or blog, but you've not been able to put that idea into action? Well, you're in luck because HostGator, one of the top hosting companies out there, is offering a special deal to Free Talk Live listeners. Go to HostGator.com/FTL and you can get up to 50% off their regular prices. Hosting your own website or blog can be intimidating, but HostGator makes it easy. HostGator offers a simple one-click, easy installation for WordPress, and they have 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-per-week, over-the-phone or live chat tech support, and a very intuitive and user-friendly control panel that puts the power of creation and the simplicity of use into the hands of you, the customer. HostGator has a 99.99% uptime rating, so you don't have to worry about outages. To get the special offer of up to 50% off for Free Talk Live listeners, visit HostGator.com/FTL. Let's go to the phones. We've got Liberty Lover calling in on Skype. Liberty Lover, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead with your thoughts.
Hello, guys. How are you doing tonight?
Hey, how are
well.
You?
What's on your mind?
Good.
I'm good. I was having a debate with a buddy earlier, and I wanted to know your thoughts. He was telling
42.
Me that... Huh? Oh, sorry. I was having a debate with a buddy earlier, and he was telling me that drug dealers technically violate the non-aggression principle because he argues that pushing drugs that can harm your body is considered aggression. What do you think of that?
Okay, so there's sort of a lot to uncover there.
Does he consider fast food an act of aggression?
I would have to ask.
Because, you know, they've been...
It's debatable.
Right, so you've got your drug dealers that will only sell one substance, and one substance only, and they're not pushing that substance onto people.
That's the word that caught me, was pusher. If you're pushing, then it means that you're encouraging the use of...
Right, and then you've got the people that, they're like, you know what... I know I'm facing time anyway, so I might as well just try to make as much money as possible and sell all the things. And, oh, well, I'm out of the thing that you want today, but I've got this other thing that'll get you really, really high.
Right.
And, you know, so the people that say weed is a gateway drug, they're talking because of that, to where, you know, you might go to your dealer and the dealer's like, well, I don't have any of that, but I've got this other thing. And I was actually listening to, because... I'm a nerd, was listening to the New Hampshire State Senate discussing some therapeutic cannabis legislation earlier today. And one of the senators made the comment about, you know, people say, well, weed is a gateway drug. And Liberty Lover, I'm going to turn you down here because I can hear you on your keyboard.
Sorry, I'll mute it.
The claim is, you know, weed is a gateway drug. And this senator said... The same thing could be said of alcohol, because how many people that are now using heroin or some other hard substance drank alcohol before they were 21 years old
or ever had alcohol?
Another thing is I know somebody from Boston who got hooked on heroin because of opioids, oxycodone, types of pills. And, you know, what I want to know is, why is heroin, you know, illegal, yet for some reason doctors can prescribe these massive amounts of opioids to people?
Because doctors pay money to the government to get licensed to sell and practice, is what it comes down to. They have the license to sell drugs. They're licensed drug dealers. That's
right,
what they are.
Morphine.
You can get drugs as long as you know a doctor. That's what it comes down to.
You can get prescriptions for morphine.
Sure.
And... As I understand it, heroin is basically it's one of the compounds in morphine. So, like, once your body, you know, dissolves it or whatever, it has the same effect on the body as morphine. So, you know, you can legally get that from a doctor. So, the question is, and we can ask the same question about cannabis. Why is it illegal in most of the country, but in a lot of the country, you can get a prescription from your doctor.
Yeah, and I want to go back for just a second, too. I'll give you my feeling on the original question, and that is pushing drugs a violation of the NAP? I think if you're...
The NAP being the non-aggression principle, which is...
Go ahead, Darryl.
The underpinning of libertarian philosophy.
Sure, which basically says you should be able to do whatever you want to your own self or your own body as long as and exercise your rights in any way that does not violate the natural rights of somebody else.
Yeah, and I don't think in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, so if the question is because these things are dangerous, does that make it a violation of NAP? I would say no, because gasoline's dangerous. You know, you can huff gasoline and...
Walking down the street is dangerous.
Yeah, so
there's... As we know from a caller in New Mexico that reminds us of those statistics every time she calls in.
I think the point is yes, and if things are misused, then almost anything can be dangerous.
Yeah.
There was a lady who died from drinking too much water on her radio contest call-in show. So,
That was the hold your wee contest.
Yeah, for win a wee if you hold your wee. But,
yeah.
But the point being is, yeah, it's... There's, to me, the NAP non-aggression principle is also very much about self-responsibility and being responsible for your own actions.
Well, I appreciate the perspective. I guess I'll say it in the words one of my great idols once said, everything should be legal as tomatoes.
Thank you very much for the call,
Thanks
Liberty
for the call.
Lover. And you can call in and sound as good as he did by using Skype. Username is lrn.fm. So let's actually change gears here a little bit and
I did want to say one last thing about my experience there in DC was that, and this is like a real eye opener, right? Is that like when Adam was originally arrested, he was arrested at like 12 o'clock ish on a Monday. And then he went before a judge at like 1 o'clock on a Tuesday. Like within that entire time, they didn't feed him, which to me is like one of the most like disgusting things to think about, like them treating a human being, right? That all because of allegedly making an inappropriate statement. Like, do we not have free speech? I'm sorry. Like, how do you go from making an inappropriate statement and then this system sucked him to spend almost a week in jail and go over 24 hours without food?
They give him water?
I have no idea. Like, yeah. I can send him a text
but
I know for a fact when I had a visitation with him, he had told me that. And I'm like, at first I'm like, dude, I really hope he's joking because that's like going to like worry the...
Right.
The heck
well,
out of me.
You know,
what I mean?
He could always spend money to hire a lawyer to wind up, you know, getting them to say, oh, we're sorry that we violated your rights.
Right. Or sue him for $10 million and settle for one.
$1?
Probably about what you would get suing the government. But, yeah. It's that is obscene. I agree.
I don't know. It's just sad. Like, inhumane treatment of people, you know? When he was just there trying to make the world a better place, protesting war.
Your calls and thoughts. Welcome. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. And there's some really good news, possibly, about Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies we'll tell you about. Stay tuned. This is Free Talk Live.
The Libertarian Party of New Hampshire is going out to the ball game, sponsoring the New Hampshire Fisher Cats on June 10th. Join the LPNH in the new pavilion with access to a private portion of the bar and an all-you-can-eat buffet. Tickets are only $40, but need to be purchased by May 9th. Get your tickets at lpnh.org/FTL.
This is Free Talk Live. Your calls and thoughts. Welcome. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. And today has been kind of a historic day. And I'll explain exactly what I mean. The New Hampshire State House, a couple of months ago, wound up passing a bill to exempt
cryptocurrencies from money transmitter regulations. That bill went before the New Hampshire Senate today, where it also passed, meaning that the New Hampshire legislature has now passed something into statute saying that businesses that conduct business solely in cryptocurrency are exempt from money transmitter regulations.
So let's talk a little bit about what that is, because we may have some new listeners that aren't familiar with even what the heck is a cryptocurrency, Daryl. Come on.
A cryptocurrency, and actually the term that they use is virtual currency or convertible virtual currency.
Sure.
Meaning that it's something that it's not a physical currency. So, you know, U.S. dollars, Canadian dollars, Chinese yuan, Venezuelan Bolivar Fuerte. Those are all things that you can hold in your hand.
Right.
Virtual currency is something that exists solely online.
Like, for example?
Bitcoin is one.
Bitcoin's probably the most best example that most people are familiar with. But there's lots of others, too, right?
There are. And I want to point out the reason that they use the term convertible, because Second Life dollars also exist solely online.
Right.
The difference is you can't use an exchange to convert your Second Life dollars into, you know, physical currency.
Is Second Life still around?
I believe so.
Really? Are you familiar with that, Heather? Or was that
Second Life?
Second Life was this virtual world.
Oh,
you log in and
I remember,
create an avatar and walk around.
There was another one called There.
Maybe.
Wasn't it?
Probably.
Yeah.
It's there.com or something.
Yeah. But interesting.
Yeah. So, you know, there are some virtual currencies that are not convertible.
Right.
So the ones like Bitcoin that Chris, you and I both accept for businesses that we run.
Nice.
And you do. You have a nifty little machine that sits in your store where people can put dollar bills in, and through magic, they get Bitcoin back on their phone.
Magic, Daryl. There's no wand involved. But through how these things work.
There could be a wand.
There could be. But yes, you could come into our store in Keene, New Hampshire, and you could bring in cash, and it could be converted into Bitcoin and then set to your Bitcoin virtual wallet. So it's kind of slick.
So the article here from CoinDesk says senators in New Hampshire have passed a bill that would exempt digital currency traders from money transmission regulations, advancing the measure to the state governor for signature. HB 436, which was first filed in mid-January, aims to create an exception from money transmission requirements for persons conducting business using transactions conducted wholly or in part in virtual currency. And I believe that text was changed to say solely in convertible virtual currency. So it's not as broad as it could be or should be.
But it's probably still one of the best cryptocurrency protection laws in the country.
Yes.
Yes, it is. Absolutely clear.
The proposal drew both supporters and critics, grassroots advocates on one side and state officials like the New Hampshire's chief banking regulator on the other. And in a vote early last month, the state House of Representatives passed the measure and sent it to the Senate. When reached, Senate representatives told CoinDesk that the bill earlier today passed by a 13-10 vote and now goes to the governor for signature.
I want to bring up 2 points about this story, which I think are really important for people out there to understand. Number one, regulators regulate.
Yes.
And it is in their own best interest to come up with new things to regulate. And when there started to be some talk about Bitcoin and things like that, the New Hampshire banking regulators immediately came forward and said, oh my gosh, think of all the opportunities to cheat and scam people out of their money because we aren't allowed in there to regulate. So we've got to push for regulation. And that's what they want to do. And the second thing I want to bring up is the absolute undeniable power of activism.
Yes.
And we're going to talk about this more, I have no doubt, but my experience with this goes back close to a year to when they started having, they put together a study committee in the Senate to talk about this issue. And those banking regulators showed up and they said, well, we've got to regulate because all these evil, horrible things could happen to normal, ordinary people. And you had a dozen or more liberty activists, people that were actively concerned about this, show up and offer testimony. And at the end of that day, one of the senators said, you know, I just can't see any reason for us to regulate this. Yes. And more to the point, I think I'm going to put in some legislation that might protect this.
Yes.
None of that would not have happened if it hadn't been for dedicated activists who went down there.
Was that the day that we all spoke?
No, this was like 6 months.
It was last summer.
Yeah.
The Commission to Study Cryptocurrency Regulations.
Right.
Wait, what was that one, though, recently?
That was about this bill.
You, me, Daryl, Ian.
Right. That was the Senate committee hearing on this bill.
Right.
What Chris is talking about is the commission that was created last year to study regulations.
Right.
Because two years ago, there was a bill. There was one bill that would have exempted cryptocurrencies from regulations. That bill was amended to create a commission to study. There was another bill dealing specifically with money transmitters that wound up being amended to include virtual currency as being regulatable.
Now, who were those people that were sitting right near us or whatever? Were they
those were the banking commissioners.
Yes.
They were on that committee?
They came and testified.
There was a representative from the banking committee on the commission to study cryptocurrencies.
Yeah. Oh.
And she was saying, we need to regulate this. And there's actually an amazing quote that I definitely want to dissect here, that one of the banking commissioners, Jerry Little, said while arguing against this bill, quote, I think the fundamental question here is, do you want the FAA examining the plane before it takes off, or do you want them looking for black boxes after the crash?
Oh, please. Oh, my gosh.
Chris, you and I have both done things in the aviation industry.
Okay.
Right. Didn't you work for the Air Force or something?
No, I was in the Army. It's not even close.
Okay. Well, the Army has airplanes.
I've flown on planes and I stayed in a Holiday Inn Express last night.
Can I give a little shout out to my friend Yolanda? Who...
No shout outs allowed on the show.
I just did it. Hi, Yolanda. So, I love you.
I will mute you. So I did work for an airline. Mm-hmm. And I thought that when you were in the military, you did something with, because you did things with satellites, and satellites get launched
somewhere. I didn't fly up there and work on them.
Right, but I still thought you did something with airplanes. Darryl. So there's a huge error in what he's saying here. He says, do you want the FAA examining the planes before it takes off or looking for a black box? Well, newsflash. The FAA does not examine airplanes before they take off.
No.
Do you know who does?
Pilots.
The pilots
and
the ramp agents.
Sure.
Because we've got to make sure that there's no damage to the plane when it comes in.
You're probably in your best interest to
do that.
We've got
to make sure that we did not damage the plane while it was sitting on the ground.
Yeah.
It's the airlines that do the inspections and the examinations.
Yeah.
That's
not
so funny.
An FAA agent.
It's so funny you say that, because when I was sitting on one of my planes coming back the other day, and I had a window seat and I was looking out, and I was like watching the guy go around the planes, and I thought of you, Daryl.
Right.
I remember you telling me that.
Right. Daryl going.
I testified as such in the hearing,
right.
But of course, CoinDesk didn't mention any of that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But they do mention that, you know, basically it was only the regulators arguing for regulation. Everybody else said free the Bitcoin. Well,
nice.
Free all of the virtual currencies. And apparently there's ones that we don't even know about that we should. This is Free Talk Live. This is Free Talk Live, 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. In studio, it's Daryl.
And Heather.
And Chris.
And let's talk nutritional supplement for a minute. And then we'll get back into the Bitcoin discussion. But over 60% of Americans take a nutritional supplement, and for good reason. Nutrient depletion of our soil, coupled with dependence on processed foods, has left most people deficient in essential nutrients. But where do you start? If you visit a naturopath, you'll likely be told a cheap vitamin or mineral just doesn't cut it. You also need probiotics, enzymes, antioxidants, and other nutrients. By the time it's all said and done, you're buying 5 bottles of products and spending $150 per month. If this is a situation you've experienced, then you need to know about Whole Food Multi-Complete. For 15 years, Whole Food Multi-Complete has been quietly providing what the big guys want. The perfect blend of 7 supplements in a single product. They've taken the expense and complexity out of following a complete supplemental program. Visit Simplify My Supplements to learn more. Enter coupon code FTL and receive 30% off your first order. Satisfaction guaranteed or your money back. And they accept Bitcoin. Now, there's a little bit of a process to go through. You have to send them a message on the Bitcoin payment page. Tell them in that message that you want code FTL to receive that 30% off for the first order. And there's free shipping on orders of $60 or more. That's simplifymysupplements.com, code FTL. And we are talking about Bitcoin and virtual currencies because, well, New Hampshire's legislature made history today by, according to the article here at CoinDesk, doing what no other legislative body in the country has done, and that is to take a step towards deregulating cryptocurrencies. Again, the bill would exempt from money transmitter regulations those persons conducting business in virtual currency.
And I do want to bring up how important this is. So you have, in essence, a marketplace out there where potential cryptocurrency companies and blockchain companies could land. So they could go and they could open up in Silicon Valley where they have very, very high taxes and lots of regulation. Or they could try to do something in New York, which is an even bigger hurdle for regulation. And then you have New Hampshire, which actually rolled back anything that could possibly get in their way of conducting business. They removed the ability for government to interfere in a startup. This is big news to me, and I'm just very proud of New Hampshire yet once again for doing things that are common sense.
What, like, I know here in New Hampshire, we have like 3 Bitcoin ATM machines, right?
Where people, there are 5.
There's 5 now.
None of them are ATMs.
They're all
ATM, meaning, you know, automatic teller machine, meaning that money can go both ways.
Right.
The machines in New Hampshire are Bitcoin vending machines, meaning that you can only purchase Bitcoin. You cannot sell Bitcoin to this machine.
So that is one way to obtain it. What about people that live in other states that are listening that they don't have those? How do they get Bitcoin if they want Bitcoin?
Well, first, I'll just say you can go to Bitcoin.com. That's probably the simplest thing to say. But there's also localbitcoins.com. There's Coin ATM Radar that shows you where the various Bitcoin vending machines are in your area. But Bitcoin.com would be the preferred starting point to get all kinds of information.
Yeah. But the long and the short of it is because Bitcoin is a peer-to-peer cryptocurrency, you know, if you have some Bitcoin, Heather, and I want to buy it from you and you're okay with selling it to me, we can just, you know, both of us open up our Bitcoin apps on our phones and say, send Chris, you know, $10 worth of Bitcoin because he's that nice of a guy.
Chris, $10 worth of beef jerky.
Right.
Well, it's funny because, like, my only Bitcoin experience came from getting a $10 gift from somebody of Bitcoin from Bruce Fenton, actually, at the Massachusetts Libertarian Convention. So he was demonstrating, he was the banquet speaker, and he was talking about Bitcoin. And so he's like, you know, someone can download this coin wallet onto your phone. It's this simple. You just download this app and then you push a little button and that little, what's the code called?
A QR code.
QR code pops up on the screen and then he just poof, touches it. And then there was $10 in there and that like doubled over the course of like 1 month. And I was like,
now
whoa.
I got $20.
So I'm getting like, you know, free french fries at a local burger every week.
Right.
Just from my interest.
That's one of the
on
stores in Keene where you can walk in and use your Bitcoin.
Yeah.
It was kind of like surreal to me though, because it's like, you know, for you guys who you've been dealing with the Bitcoin stuff for a while now, for me it was like, whoa, I've got like this Bitcoin stuff and I'm walking into a restaurant giving somebody something other than a dollar.
Right.
And I'm getting goods back.
Right.
It's like, whoa, this is cool.
Yeah, I can say that I was into Bitcoin for a couple of years. But it was a couple years before I ever actually got to spend it. And the first time I ever spent it, I had come to New Hampshire to look around and see if we really did want to move up here. And I ran into George, you know, Mandrick.
Mandrick, former, I believe he was possibly a co-host at one time on Free Talk Live. Best known for making baklava and selling
baklava?
It for...
Baklava is like a Greek?
It's a Greek dessert made with phyllo dough, honey, and nuts.
Yeah.
Ooh,
really crazy good.
Yes.
But George made this insanely great baklava. And I was up here and I'm like, I've got Bitcoin. He's got baklava. So I'm like, I hooked up with him through his website and he's like, oh, you're in town. Cool. Just swing by. And yeah, so I went over there and I bought baklava with Bitcoin. That was my first Bitcoin purchase.
Mine was sweet potato fries. Baklava sounds better though.
So
it's all good.
The article from CoinDesk about the news in New Hampshire earlier today says that during a hearing earlier in the month, representatives from both the New Hampshire Banking Department and Department of Justice argued against the bill. Their testimony was in sharp contrast with both grassroots supporters and the bill's sponsors in the House, who argued that the exemption would benefit the state in the long run. And it definitely will. Removing regulations winds up benefiting everybody.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't wind up having this middleman that steps in the way and says, I'm sorry, sir, but you can't do that without my permission, even though I have nothing to do with this transaction.
Right. And I will say this, if you're a stock guy, you know, or a stock person, and you follow the market and things like that, there's a lot of venture capital money flowing into blockchain technologies and cryptocurrencies. You see it every day. If you're reading Entrepreneur, if you're reading Inc., all these things, there's articles all the time. So, you know, you're talking
about
$20 million, $50 million going to a company and the company's trying to decide where to go. Hey, maybe it's New Hampshire now.
Hopefully. So let's go to Skype. We've got Ricky calling in. Ricky, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead with your thoughts.
Ah, Brother Daryl. Good evening.
Go ahead with your thoughts, Ricky.
Hey, got a question for you guys and girls.
Thank you.
Now, I remember Daryl a good long time ago, last year, sometime in 2016. Do you remember speaking about the soda tax there in Philadelphia?
I do remember speaking about that. And there was one of the distributors that wound up giving a quoted price of, he sells the, what ultimately winds up being several hundred glasses of soda, sells for about $60. The tax that the city of Philadelphia wants is $57.60. So he had to increase the price to cover the tax. And the mayor said that he was price gouging.
Right. Well, the reality is, what it comes down to it, a couple points. Point number one, now I smoke like a stack. A lot of people don't know that about Ricky from the Commonwealth, but it's now known.
Now we have, America knows.
Well, you know it now. Now, the fact of the matter is, I was there the day it happened. Now, prefab, you can kind of question that, but now loose tobacco, that's like taxing oregano. There was 100% tax here in PA on loose tobacco. But the real gist of this, where I'm going with this, and there's one on alcohol that goes back to Hamilton's day. I'm old enough to remember it. You know, as far as when it went, they tried to put a tax through, and then, you know, people freaked out. Well, they already got it. It's a small one. But I'm going somewhere with this, ultimately, if I may.
All right. Hold that thought. maybe grab a piece of paper, jot down some mental notes. This is Free Talk Live, 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733.
North to Port is a Liberty-inspired fiction podcast about a band on tour. Each episode chronicles the band's adventures in the form of a radio interview at a tour stop location. Listen as North to Port explores Liberty themes in friendly ways, with humor and music. To listen to the podcast and the accompanying album, please visit northtoport.com. That's NORTHTOPORT.com. Or just search North to Port in your favorite podcatcher.
This is Free Talk Live, kicking off hour number two. In studio tonight is Daryl.
And Heather.
And Chris.
And we've been talking about Bitcoin and other virtual currencies. And Chris, you've got some information that hopefully we'll get to here momentarily. But at the end of the last hour, Ricky from the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania wound up calling in about the Philadelphia soda tax. And I think he somehow said that this is related to an alcohol tax there in Pennsylvania that goes back to the days of Alexander Hamilton. Ricky, you're back on.
Thank
Go
you,
ahead
brother.
And summarize. What was I somehow correct in you assessing were,
you
what you were
you
saying?
You are correct.
Okay. Continue
right.
with
now,
your thought.
Distribution tax is the oldest trick in the book, and the importance here is what I heard last week. And there's some bad things coming. PA fought that alcohol tax because that's all that we had really was one of our gross national products was alcohol at that time. Mm-hmm. Now, what I see is last week, the Trump administration put forth labeling it as welfare reform and across the a federal ban on the ability, as it said, to use food stamps to buy soda. I have my answer to this. That's ridiculous. How is this going to benefit anything? Why would they do this? Any guess, gentlemen?
Well, I'm going to summon my inner Sarah from Albuquerque. And say that he's doing this for the children because
absolutely.
Child
obesity.
If you prevent people on welfare from using the welfare money to buy soda, they won't drink soda.
I got a better idea. See, think of that distribution tax. Now, remember that was 50% juice, right? Now, I don't know where that 50% juice left then.
Are they giving soda in schools, though? That doesn't make any sense.
Some. Well, no, it does. It does because you got 20%, 100%, and none. There's no 50% in between. What it comes down to, they're looking at an across-the-board tax, just like in Philadelphia. I believe the same nature, the same exact deal. And reason why this is important? Because let's face it, the way these people look at it, food stamps would be like taxing themselves somehow if you were able to use it for this. And I know right here especially it would produce a conflict because it's the Commonwealth's money. It goes to the state, and the state administers it. You know, this has really got bad things in the making in the future. Your thoughts, gentlemen?
I think Chris has a lot of thoughts because I've seen him making some
But I'm not sure how to sum them all
here.
Up. I think any time that the government gets involved in attempting to penalize a activity which only involves putting some substance into your own body, that's a bad thing. I think when we provide money to people to not work, if you can get food stamps and you can get housing assistance and things like that, you pretty much are covering somebody's entire livelihood, their ability to remain unemployed in some cases.
Like the system anyway, in general.
Across-the-board tax of this nature on everyone. It ain't just them. This would be an across-the-board tax.
Well, if you think about it, if they make it so that you can't buy soda on, like, food stamps and stuff like that, well, then naturally people are going to, then the government agencies are going to end up requesting more in their budget in order to accommodate other foods and stuff that are going to be higher in price, right? So it could potentially be, you know, that's just one theory is that, you know, by banning soda, which is relatively cheap in comparison to some other stuff, you know, like mm-hmm. a gallon of milk or orange juice and all this other stuff. It's like, well, now that they're going to be requesting, you know, they can say, oh, we have a million people on food stamps. We need an additional $2 million in order to accommodate the change in the diet that we've
They've got to be able to shop at Whole Foods now.
Yeah.
And get holistic.
But, and you know what? And it's like, I'm one of those people.
I think this has got nothing to do with food stamps. The point is because
it's revenue, it's money, you know.
It would provide a conflict. They're looking at doing across the board tax for everyone. You know, that's what I think is going to be happening here. And
yeah, I don't doubt that.
So hold on, Ricky, are you saying that you think there's going to be a nationwide sales tax?
Absolutely. I think the importance here is the less than 50% juice that you pointed out. It's not just a soda tax. It wasn't a soda tax in Philly. I mean, there's 20%, 100%, and none. I mean, that's to my experience.
I don't know where you're getting 50% juice. We were saying that the tax rate would double some of the price of some of the things. Ricky, thank you for the call. But the thing that you know, soda tax, it actually covered anything where there was sugar added to the drink.
Right.
Whether it be an energy drink, you go to Starbucks and get a Frappy Mocha Latte-cino because that's
so
got some sugar added into it.
Sure.
That gets taxed. But if you order a cup of dark coffee and then you add the sugar yourself at the table, that's not taxed.
Well, like a real American, you drink your coffee black.
I'm feeling discriminated against here for drinking coffee and I don't like it.
Well, as long as it's black.
No, see, I hate these taxes that like discriminate against certain people. You know,
you
could have
just stopped right there and just said, "I hate these taxes."
I hate all taxes, but you know, I'd rather at least everybody be taxed so we could all suffer together. You know what I mean? Like misery loves company.
I don't know what you mean at all because I disagree with that statement.
See, the thing is if we all suffered together, then we'd all like revolt together. You know what I mean? So by doing all of these little individual...
I'm with you on that one.
That's good in theory, but that's not what actually happens. Let's go to Joe calling in from Lakeside, California. Joe, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead with your thoughts.
Yes, I also want to talk about Bitcoin, but you threw me a curve talking about taxes on people with food stamps.
You talk about that?
Ricky threw you a curve. Go ahead.
They don't pay tax no ways because it's not real money. It's food stamps. And it was never meant for them to go to a 7-Eleven and buy $1.50 16-ounce soda pop when they go to Walmart and buy a whole blooming six-pack of soda pops for $2.50.
Is that where you're from where they call it soda pop? I'm just curious.
That's an old Alabama phrase.
There you go.
I grew up in Alabama. We call everything Coke.
Okay. We have the Battle of the Alabamans.
You did mention something. Hold on, Joe. You mentioned that the food stamps weren't intended for somebody to go to the 7-Eleven and buy a big gulp. Instead, go to the grocery store and buy a six-pack of soda. And I think what Ricky was saying is the proposal is not to allow them to use the food stamps to buy any soda from anywhere, be it the grocery store or the Quickie Mart.
Right.
I am for that. Food stamps just get beans and rice and fill your belly up. It's not for the luxuries of life.
Yeah, and
using that for an example.
I'll go one step further and say that the redistribution of wealth from one person to another is immoral.
Yes.
And that is really what food stamps are. It's taken, you know, if you work, then we're going to take your money and we're going to decide that this group of people is more deserving of it than you. That's what food stamps represents to me.
No, I look at it a different way. I think, you know, when it comes to food stamps and stuff like that, these are agencies that if you privatize would still exist because there's compassionate people that donate to charities that would feed people that, you know, don't think. And I also think if you minimize government regulations and stuff, I mean, we have some of the places where there's, more people on food stamps, there's more government. And so it's not necessarily the people on food stamps' fault because having lived in Massachusetts, I can tell you as a struggling single mother there, like that system, it's so hard to make ends meet. I mean, it's literally, I have a friend that's been working for a surgical coordinator for like 5 or 6 years, right? So she can't even get a pay raise because if she does as a single mother, she will actually lose money by getting a raise because of the system. And there's so much government involved that there's no way off of it. You just can't afford to live. It's like it controls your every move.
She needs to move.
And like, Joe, I think you had
more. She needs to come
to
New Hampshire.
I'm going to hold you over, let you finish your thoughts when we come back. Your calls and thoughts, welcome. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. This is Free Talk Live. What are your thoughts? Food stamps versus private charity? Just use... Yeah! This is Free Talk Live. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. In studio, it's Daryl.
And Heather.
And Chris.
And we'll get back to the phones here in just a second. We were talking about Bitcoin earlier. Well, there's a website that you can go to get a lot of information about Bitcoin. It's actually, you know, a website that there's nothing like. It's Bitcoin.com. You want to buy some Bitcoin? Find out how at Bitcoin.com. Want to speak your mind to other Bitcoin users? Their forum is always open and censorship-free at forum.bitcoin.com. And there's no bigger Bitcoin believers than the team at bitcoin.com. That's why this site is a one-stop shop for everything you need to get into Bitcoin life. You can also play games at games.bitcoin.com. Learn more about Bitcoin at bitcoin.com. That's bitcoin.com.
What was it, Daryl?
Bitcoin.com. B-I-T-C-O-I-N .com.
Every time you say that, I keep thinking you're saying Bitcoin.
Bit.
So if any of the fiends are listening, not
B-I-T.
Not BIP with a B. B-I-P.
Okay. B-I-T-C-O-I-N.
Which is another crypto that's out there.
Back to letter of the day, B.
Back to Joe in Lakeside, California. Joe, go ahead with your thoughts.
Thanks for taking my call. Earlier in the show, you were talking about the Bitcoin machines.
Yes.
And I'm just wondering why you need one when you do everything by computer, like your ad just said.
Sure. I can kind of answer that because I operate one in my store. But some people don't want to tie their bank account or give one of these Bitcoin exchanges all their personal information. Mm-hmm. Some people just have a wallet full of cash, and they'd like to have a virtual wallet full of Bitcoin. And what these machines allow you to do is exchange green currency for Bitcoin. Does that make sense?
Yes. Now, do you get a wallet where you don't have to be on the computer?
You can download wallets that are on your cell phone, on your smartphone, things like that.
You can also do what's called a paper wallet.
Yeah.
I'm going to say the problem with that is that, well, then you don't have a way of spending.
Wait, what's the paper wallet? Refresh my memory.
So a paper wallet is, and I'm holding a little piece of paper in my hand. A paper wallet would basically be you've got your public key and your private key, mm-hmm. which are the things that you need to make virtual currencies work. You have those on a piece of paper. And that's a good way to, safely store something in an account that nobody can wind up, if somebody steals your cell phone and you've got a wallet on your phone
and
you don't
protection.
Have really good right. security, then somebody could then take all of your Bitcoin. If you've got an account with an exchange and somebody, hacks into your account or hacks into your laptop, then they can take all of your Bitcoin. But if you have on a paper wallet, unless they take the piece of paper or the paper somehow gets lost or burned or damaged,
right.
then your Bitcoin are safe that way. So there are ways to hold onto Bitcoin without having a computer, but you can't really do much with them.
Now, is that because you can't transfer, like you're buying something online? Without it being on a computer, you can't transfer it.
Correct.
Yeah, it gets really kind of... Go ahead.
Can they not do it like a credit card, like a debit card, where you could use the numbers on the card to transfer money?
Well, the problem, if you do have the paper wallet, or you have it somehow stored offline, and you give somebody your private key, they can then take all of the money out of your Bitcoin wallet. So you don't want to give somebody your private key unless you want them taking everything out
of the wallet. So basically what you could do is you could have money on this private key wallet, right? And then transfer whatever you're going to spend over into your regular wallet. And so only you're the one that has that private key?
But you would still need to have access to a computer.
Yeah. Here's what I do.
Unless you're just giving someone the paper wallet.
Right. My idea would be that if I were to, you know, go more heavily into paper wallets, and I use Bitcoin wallets that are not tied to exchanges. They reside on my PC or they reside on my phone because I can keep both of those pretty secure.
Yes.
But if I had like an amount of Bitcoin, like a considerable amount, and I wanted to store it, then I would store it on a paper wallet.
Yes.
If it were a long term, like I'm going to hold on to this for a while.
And you would probably also laminate that piece of paper and put it in a fireproof safe.
And yeah.
Because you want to keep that super secure to make sure it doesn't get lost, damaged, or stolen.
Yeah. So it's a good way to hold your wealth for a period of time or for long periods of time. And you could do that with any amount. You could put $1 on a paper wallet, $1 worth of Bitcoin, or you could put $1 million worth of Bitcoin on a paper wallet.
Now, when you say $1 and the fluctuation of Bitcoin goes up and down, that can either be less than a dollar or more than a dollar, depending on the
correct
value.
Mm-hmm. You bet. I'm talking about, when you first put it on.
Yeah, I got like a $10 donation given to me in like in a month. It like doubled to like $20. It was crazy.
Isn't that great? Yeah.
Now, a lot of people are speculating on Bitcoin like they do silver and gold.
Yes.
Some, but more of the speculation with virtual currency comes with some of what they call the altcoins, meaning things that work kind of like Bitcoin, but they're based on slightly different code. So you'll have what's called a pump and dump, to where a bunch of people start putting money in. Oh, the price is going up. And so then other people, oh, I want in on that. And a lot of money goes in. And then people, oh, hey, look, my money quadrupled. And then they sell, and so then the price starts coming down, and so it creates this sort of bubble.
I will say, from somebody who talks to people that are buying Bitcoin every day, we have a lot of people come in and say, you know, I'm investing in my first Bitcoin. You know, they are doing it to purchase and to hold on to. They keep hearing about it and they don't want to miss out on it, so they're buying a few $100 worth. And
I think a lot of it has to do, too, with the fact that, you know, if you look at interest rates at banks these days, like CDs and stuff like that, people just aren't making money, leaving all of their money sitting in these CDs and in these banks.
Yeah, right.
And the market's just doing terrible.
And now by the time you get whatever percentage from the bank, you've barely gotten more than what the rate of inflation is.
Right. You don't get what the rate of inflation is. This is something I did working for Bankers Life, doing retirement planning, when we had products like fixed annuities that were tied to the S&P 500 and all of this other stuff. You lose money by having money in CDs at the bank.
And you'll get taxed on your interest on regular accounts.
Yeah, inflation rate's about 3%.
The other question I want to ask is, how is money made on the Bitcoin machine?
Well, people will purchase Bitcoin from an exchange or from someone else or whatever. And the Bitcoin machine itself is actually a wallet. So when you put cash in, most of them do.
A little bit of a markup.
Yeah. So
to cover, you know, again, there's those exchange fees. Plus, you've got the electricity for running that Bitcoin vending machine.
And the fluctuation of the Bitcoin price. You've got to kind of cover your spread a little bit there.
Joe, thank you for the call. Your calls and thoughts, welcome. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. This is Free Talk Live. And we're talking Bitcoin. Do you use them? Call in. 855-450-FREE.
Bitcoin.com is of the opinion that the current Bitcoin Core development team is not taking satisfactory steps to ensure the growth and advancement of Bitcoin in accordance with Satoshi's vision. As community efforts to resolve these problems have failed, it is necessary to resolve them with a different approach. By using subreddit r/BTC instead of r/Bitcoin and running Bitcoin Unlimited, you are casting a vote against the current development team. Learn more at Bitcoin.com. That's Bitcoin.com.
This is Free Talk Live, 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. We're talking Bitcoin, and we're trying to use, you know, words and phrases that make sense to a larger audience, because I'm not a Bitcoin expert, but I know more about Bitcoin than the average person.
Yeah, I would put myself in that category.
And, you know, one thing that tends to happen when someone knows more than the average person is they talk to their experience level and don't necessarily, you know,
right.
I hate to say dumb it down.
But you need to.
But, you know,
well, that's why I'm here, so I can ask all the questions, because I hardly know anything about Bitcoin
that helps.
Other than I bought sweet potato fries with it at local.
Right. Burger. So, that's Heather, good. If at any point during the conversation you get confused, let us know.
Okay.
And we'll try to keep it at, you know, like a introductory level as best we can.
At a Heather level. I like it.
At a Heather level. That's cool.
Let's
That's
go good. Back to the phones. We've got Patrick calling in from Bullhead City, Arizona. Patrick, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead with your thoughts.
Hey, I got a question. Maybe you can answer this. I mean, with everything that's going on with Bitcoin and virtual currency is what, you know, you've been talking about. Has anybody ever, on a serious note, tried to pay, just a court fine, a sewer bill or something with a city?
Let me answer the second part first. I don't know if anybody's ever paid a sewer bill, but there is a service, and I forget the name of it, but there is a service where you can go online and someone will pay a bill for you.
Right.
And they wind up getting Bitcoin. So you'd say, I want my fill-in-the-blank bill paid, it's this much, and then you put that amount of Bitcoin into escrow. Somebody says, I'll pay that, and once it's confirmed that the payment is received, you release the Bitcoin from escrow.
Yeah.
I don't know if anybody's done that with a parking ticket, but I know that certain bills have been paid. Now, I also know that people have indirectly paid parking tickets with Bitcoin. What I mean is somebody says, hey, I've got, you know, this $15 parking ticket. I don't want to pay it, but I'll give somebody the Bitcoin if they do.
Right.
Now, that's not through a service. That's just, you know, like people going friend to friend. But if you walk into the, you know, local police department, they're not set up to accept Bitcoin. So yeah.
Not yet. But if we can get right. Ian in there.
Well, there was a bill a couple of years ago in New Hampshire that would have required the state treasurer wind up contracting with a single Bitcoin payment processor right. to wind up accepting virtual currency, or specifically Bitcoin. And I took issue with that because, well, if you're going right. to do this, then it shouldn't be a single processor.
Yep.
And it should be more than just Bitcoin. It should be any virtual currency that they deal with.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I'm just saying that the cities, you know, the cities need to broaden their perspective. Mm-hmm. Because when the banks took a real hit and they were buying out all these smaller banks, a lot of money in these smaller cities gets diversed into some of these accounts. And then these bigger banks take over, and then the city takes a hit. Because, you know, they got fees, and then all of a sudden they're getting charged this.
Right.
It would just seem like it would be something that, I agree with you that we need to start looking ahead on things and start, start being more proactive in what's actually going on out there. And it fascinates me, guys. And I just thank you. I appreciate that. I'm really quite interested in what you guys are saying and what you do say. And normally, I really appreciate your opinions because out here where I live, it's more of a older generation type mm-hmm. of crowd. They're sort of caught up in their traditions, but they aren't educating themselves on what's actually going on. And I see a lot of elderly people getting burnt that way,
right?
Because they think if it's too good to be true, like they say, it's generally not.
Oh yeah.
But, it really seems neat because somebody had brought up to me. Out in Silicon Valley, I was talking to, and they're invested in some of this, and they're saying, you know, it really seems to be a way of protecting yourself and protecting your investments, because nowadays, heck, people are getting ripped off blind out there, whether it's the banks or mm-hmm. somebody just ripping them off, and it's sad.
Yeah,
but it would be something to. I know you guys are involved with your city and everything, but that's something you guys could bring up, and you could actually create a wave across this entire United States. And
we have a couple of state reps that actually admitted in a bill hearing. Was it two weeks?
Those were senators,
state senators.
State senators. That two of them on the committee. Said in this hearing that they themselves used Bitcoin. So yeah, it was pretty
which was great.
Now, cool Patrick, your statement about, you know, try to get the city of Keene, where this show is being broadcast, to accept Bitcoin. Well, New Hampshire is not a home rule state.
Yeah, we really
so
can't.
So municipalities can only do what the state government says they're allowed to do. And secondly, I don't want any government getting involved in, you know, recognizing Bitcoin or virtual currency as some form of legal tender. I don't want any government saying, yes, bring in your silver and gold coins to pay parking tickets and pay your taxes. And I know that that's what a lot of, you know.
It would be convenient if you happen to use Bitcoin to be able to pay your taxes.
For a lack of a better term, there's a lot of libertarians.
That's basically what I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
That there's a lot of libertarians.
Everything.
That there's a lot of libertarians that have this sort of, you know, Rothbardian wet dream of
right.
governments accepting gold and silver for payment of taxes. But if they do that, then that means that they're legal tender, which means that the government can regulate those things even more. I don't want there to be legal tender, and there wasn't a legal tender law in this country before the tyrant Lincoln had one passed so that people would start accepting the treasury notes so that he could fund his war.
And I think what the key is, and if I were to offer you one takeaway, yes, it's good to look for opportunities to promote economic freedom within your government. That's something that you can do. And there's all sorts of ways. Some of it involves cryptocurrency. Some of it involves government involvement in every other aspect of our lives. But the big thing is to get people to use it. And, you know, we put in a lot of effort here, not at all to convince the city of Keene, New Hampshire, to accept it for parking tickets, but to convince some pizza shop owner that he should accept Bitcoin for pizza. You know, I want the average person to gain knowledge and awareness of Bitcoin and be recognize that they can use it in their everyday lives. That's where you get the strength.
There's a newspaper that goes to every house in this county.
Yeah.
And there's an ad promoting Bitcoin in that newspaper.
I love that. It's
so,
a great ad,
you know,
too.
We want people to actually learn about it, you know, real normal people, not government bureaucrats.
There's
or a bunch of geeks like us.
One of the recent things was there's an auto body shop now that accepts Bitcoin in New Hampshire that you can get like up to $10,000 of work on your car,
yeah.
I guess. He's designed to accept up to $10,000 in Bitcoin.
Yeah, there's a...
You can get your car repaired.
Car repair guy just a couple miles up the road from the studios here.
He just replaced a starter in my Jeep.
Really? Did you pay in Bitcoin?
Long story, but no.
further up north in northern New Hampshire. Shame there's a gas you. Station where you can buy gas with Bitcoin. And there's places you can buy fancy chocolate. There's several places where you can buy hamburgers.
You can buy almost anything with Bitcoin.
If you come to Keene, New Hampshire, you can come to Route 101 Local Goods, and you can buy good New Hampshire maple syrup with Bitcoin. You can buy anything in our store.
I've heard so many good things about that store.
I buy honey with Bitcoin all the time. Patrick,
what's the deal?
Thank you for the call. Your calls and thoughts, welcome. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. What's the most interesting legal product you've ever bought with Bitcoin? This is Free Talk Live, 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. We're talking about Bitcoin. And, of course, we'll take your calls about whatever is on your mind. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. We'll get back to the phones here in just a moment. But, you know, one of the most amazing things about Bitcoin is the fact that, as we were mentioning, you can use it in a lot of different places. And one of those is when you shop online. What if I told you you could save 5% guaranteed on things you were going to buy from Amazon anyway? You would think that that's amazing, right? Well, what if I also said that you could save up to 25% on those same purchases? Yeah, absolutely amazing. Well, you can when you go to saveatpurse.com. That's saveatpurse.com. Now, what you do is you put things into an Amazon wish list. You then import the wish list into your account there at saveatpurse.com. Select what sort of discount you want, and then you fund the account with Bitcoin. Someone says, I'm willing to buy Bitcoin for that much of a markup. And then they buy the items from Amazon. You get the items. When they arrive in the mail, you wind up clicking order delivered. And the Bitcoin then leave escrow and go to the person that made that purchase. Again, saveatpurse.com. Save 25% or more on things you are going to buy from Amazon anyway. Saveatpurse.com. Let's go to the phones. We've got Chandler calling in from St. Louis. Chandler, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead with your thoughts.
Hey, I'm sure you guys have heard a lot about the flat earth theory.
I have.
I personally believe in it.
That's interesting. I don't.
Me either.
But go ahead.
The fucking Bible.
Whoa. No, you can't swear. This is a broadcast radio show. There are certain words that you can't say on broadcast radio.
I think George Carlin did a thing on that. Yes, we're under the same rules as everybody else on that. So, sorry, flat earther, you got dumped.
Yes.
This might have been the call that would have convinced me that
maybe.
The earth was indeed flat. So, I guess they missed their chance.
Now, there's a television ad. Since we had a flat earther call... I saw this television ad, and I don't know if I saw it only because I use a VPN that thinks I'm in Europe.
Okay.
But I saw this ad for a Hyundai, and the ad is titled Shackleton's Run.
I don't know.
And I actually wound up watching the entire ad just because I was so intrigued by it.
Okay.
And apparently,
now we're intrigued. Go ahead.
In 1913... this guy, Shackleton, Sir Ernest Shackleton, posted an advertisement in a newspaper looking for some volunteers to join him on a perilous journey. And his goal was, he didn't realize that Antarctica was a solid chunk of ice. He thought it was kind of like the Arctic, the North Pole shelf to where, you can break through it.
Right.
And so he wanted to sail through Antarctica, and well, his boat wound up getting stuck, and well, luckily him and his men wound up surviving being stuck in Antarctica. But Hyundai decided, you know what, we're going to complete this guy's journey in a completely different way. So they found some descendants of the people that were involved in this Shackleton thing in 1913. And they wound up joining together in some SUV sort of thing and driving across Antarctica. A 5,800 kilometer journey across Antarctica took them 30 days.
Wow.
So my question to a flat earther is, if the earth is flat and it looks like what they show on the UN flag,
right,
then wouldn't that have been like a 25,000 mile journey from one side of Antarctica to the other?
It's interesting you bring that up, because my other question that I'm dying to ask one of these knuckleheads, I'm sorry, they're not knuckleheads, they're just ignorant people who believe in a very failed idea. That's not even fair. They're flat earthers. We'll just leave it at that. Is it's really common in yachting, like one of the challenges you can do if you're going to circumnavigate the globe is to do the Roaring Forties, which means you're circumnavigating south of all the capes, like Cape Horn and
Cape Fear,
South America. You're going literally, right. You're looping around Antarctica.
I still can't figure out the motive. Like, what the heck is the motive? Like, how do you have a conspiracy theory without a motive? Let me say something. Because I saw a lot of this flat, like similar to the flat earth stuff at this free, quote unquote, free your mind conference. It was a great conference. There were a lot of great speakers, but don't get me wrong. There were a couple there that, you know, had theories and stuff that I'm like, okay, like, right, have I been living under a rock? Because I'm really not connecting any of the dots here. Like,
so I've asked some of the flat earth callers, why does this matter? And the response is, if they being, you know, like, the global, you know, puppet string pullers, if they can get you to believe the ludicrous idea that the earth is a ball and it's spinning this fast, then they can make you believe anything.
Well, there are two flat earthers out there that I have a lot of respect for. One is Mark Sargent.
Shaquille O'Neal?
Nope. And the other one is Eric Dubay, I think is his name, or Dubai or Dubay. I think that's it. And the only reason I say that, and the only reason I have respect for them, is they have seriously monetized this thing. These guys run hugely successful YouTube channels. They write books. They produce documentaries. And they are getting these suckers to fall for this stuff, hook, line, and sinker, and buy all their stuff, or watch their videos over and over and over again. And that is paying them.
Now,
so
one thing that's going to be absolutely hilarious, and my tongue is firmly planted in my cheek when I say this, if in about 10 years, one of them winds up having a custody hearing, and then their lawyer says, everything is an act, this person is a performance artist.
Exactly.
Now, for people that pay attention to broadcast radio and news about various hosts, you'll know who I'm talking about. There's a fairly well-known conspiracy theorist sort of...
So we don't need to go any further, but he's on the same network.
He's also on his own network.
Yeah,
I know. But, you know, he's well-known as, you know, somebody that says, I have all the government documents. Going through a custody hearing, and his lawyer said, it's all an act. He doesn't actually believe any of this.
Right.
He's just putting on a show for the audience. And I've not yet seen any theories of how, you know, this person being a performance artist is not actually true or part of some grander conspiracy to where he's got to say he's a performance artist because otherwise, you know, the Illuminati wins.
Right, but he can't come right out and say it because that jeopardizes him in court. So it's going to be interesting to see how this shakes out.
Yeah. And it's also going to be interesting to see if he loses any of his fan base or if they'll wind up sticking with him like they did when he jumped on the Trump train. Your calls and thoughts, welcome. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. Getting back into the cryptocurrency discussion, Chris, you actually had an article, and I can pull it up if you don't have it ready, about some of the virtual currencies other than Bitcoin that we should probably know about?
Yeah, and And for those of you who do follow cryptocurrencies and Bitcoin, you probably heard of a lot of them, but I thought it was interesting. This is an article that comes from Entrepreneur Magazine, so it's
kind of a mainstream very publication.
Much so. Yeah, and for investors and things like that. But the title is Six Cryptocurrencies You Should Know About, and None of Them Are Bitcoin. It's by Matthew Torn, writing in Entrepreneur. In the 21st century, money is no longer limited to bills, coins, and credit cards. In fact, some money is truly international, not owned by any particular government and regulated, quote, by the people, unquote, instead of a central entity. It also exists wholly on the internet. The type of money is called cryptocurrency. You may have heard or even used Bitcoin when it first became popular 7 years ago, but where Bitcoin used to rule, other cryptocurrencies are now being used to pay back family members for lunch, charge customers for products and services, and make other everyday transactions. As an entrepreneur, it's important to keep an eye on the most commonly used cryptocurrencies. And when we get back, we'll talk about the six that this author thinks you should know about.
And then I will probably wind up giving some of my thoughts on these, because I've got thoughts on the first one he listed. This is Free Talk Live, 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733.
A funny thing happens when you don't advertise. Nothing. Modern advertisers have been trained to look for trackability in their advertising, and web search ads are great for that. They also help you get the consumer that's looking for products like yours in the moment. But they're expensive, and they do nothing to convince people to try your product segment in the first place. They help you get a bigger piece of the pie, but branding mediums like radio grow the pie itself. Free Talk Live's on more than 150 stations, and we can help advertisers with little budgets and big ones. Send me an email, mark@freetalklive.com. It's mark@freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live, kicking off hour number three. In studio, it's Daryl.
And Heather.
And Chris.
And your calls are welcome, 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. We've been talking about virtual currencies, and you know, the primary reason that we were talking about this is because of the news today from the New Hampshire legislature, where an exemption, a deregulation, wound up passing to exempt from money transmitter regulations businesses that are conducted solely in convertible virtual currency.
And that's big news for us. That means that businesses that are looking to figure out where they're going to headquarter their, you know, startups with all this venture capital money coming in will give a hard look at New Hampshire.
Yes.
Compared to a lot of other states that have gone the other direction and heavily regulated it.
Places like New York and Massachusetts.
Yep.
That have wound up putting in a lot of onerous regulations.
You bet.
On now, what? On Bitcoin?
On virtual currencies.
Yeah, period. I don't even ever remember hearing about Bitcoin. Well, I mean, I remembered hearing about it in Massachusetts only through Bruce Fenton, because he would always post about it. But I never remembered seeing anybody or really knowing anybody that actively
and
used it down on the
Cape. There's a reason that people drive from Albany and parts of Massachusetts to Keene, New Hampshire to buy Bitcoin.
Yeah, we see them every day.
Because there aren't any of the Bitcoin vending machines or Bitcoin ATMs anywhere near them.
Oh, yeah. So they're not even like allowed in Massachusetts?
You could.
They are. There are a few in Boston, but the fees are a lot higher because they've got regulations
they have to
jump through.
Yeah,
they are
all these standards that the state
they have to
out.
Register as money transmitters.
Right.
And other things that have costly fees attached.
Not only that, but then, you know, if you're one of these businesses, then your relationship with your bank changes. And now I've got to register with the State Department. And now I've got to, maybe your insurance looks at the business you're doing differently.
Right.
Because you've had to do all these regulatory,
it's just
nuts.
Yeah.
So, Chris, you've got an article about six cryptocurrencies other than Bitcoin,
yep,
that people should know about. And we'll get into this in just a moment. Back to the phones. We've got Adam calling in from Washington, D.C. if this is the Adam I think it is, how does it feel to not be incarcerated?
Oh, thank you, Daryl. I appreciate that. And that's really amazing news to hear about Bitcoin. If I may say, before we get into any of my petty drama, like, I sometimes wonder if everything we're doing in political activism is just going to be completely rendered irrelevant when Bitcoin becomes the dominant currency of the world, or some other cryptocurrency, that, like, all of what we're doing is, you know, raging against the machine that's about to be completely irrelevant. But anyway, so I was incarcerated for a week here, and as Heather pointed out, it was a strange kind of torture. So my sleep cycle and my bowel cycle are still lining up. It was a very disorienting experience to do a week in jail when not expecting to at all.
Yeah.
So Heather had mentioned when you first got arrested, apparently they kept you 25 hours with no food.
Yeah, and it's just two meals missed and the other two meals stretched apart, you know, going into central booking. It like, when I say a strange kind of torture, I do, you know, it is something that you don't appreciate till you've gone through it in a place like D.C.,
right,
where they really are trying to shuffle a lot of young black men through the criminal injustice system.
Right.
And the first night you're in holding, it's on a steel cot, no mattress. And if you're lucky, you get two bologna sandwiches and a little bit of high fructose corn syrup flavored, right, you know, dyed water in a plastic cup. And it's, you know, I had a cellmate, and we had a toilet, like, you know, 6 inches from his head where he was sleeping on his bunk. Like, it's just, it's lights on 24 hours.
Right.
And then,
oh, wow. Yeah, that is a special kind of torture.
Yeah. Well, and then they used to feed you before going to court. This time they didn't feed us in the morning. They just took us out of central booking to upstairs in the next building to the U.S. Marshals area. And we're in, like, holding pens all day, and they didn't get to our batches until, our course in the arraignment schedule until the afternoon. We didn't get out of there until 6, and we didn't get processed at the jail and fed until about 10. And I hadn't eaten since 6 the day before.
Right.
And it's like they want to disorient you before putting you on the stand. And it's not that you're literally on the stand in arraignment court, but you got a public defender, and they got to shuffle bodies through. It's
right.
It's really sick. And when I got out, I had this great statement I was going to read, and I walked the line of, like, contempt of court, just going, like, ma'am, I have a statement to read. And I refuse now to call them Your Honor. I think the Quakers object on religious grounds, right? Like, it's giving someone a title that goes against God's desire for us to be an equal family of human beings, as opposed to putting people above each other in positions of authority.
Mm-hmm.
So I say sir or ma'am, and I feel much more comfortable with that. But I was like, I have a statement to read. I demand all the documents I'm entitled to with this case. And the marshals were literally dragging me out of there by the shirt, going, dude, your case is dismissed. You're allowed to go home. Shut up. And I'm like, screw that. No, I'm like, we're going to make them explain themselves here, because this is some BS. And
right.
I know Heather's done a great job of representing this. And it's just, it's a bogus warrant. They just wanted to roll me up on a bogus warrant. And it's not like some grand conspiracy. But I got to, if you don't mind, I gotta check my text messages right now, because there's a good friend of ours. I guess I'll just say his activism name for now. He goes by Morpheus. If you know him in the Phoenix area, he's a Bitcoin trader here, and his apartment just got raided by the FBI.
Oh no!
And, just now?
Yeah, like just this evening. And I just want to say that it's, you know, really important that we stand up for each other as a community of activists when mm-hmm. someone goes to jail. And it was so awesome to have Heather on board, especially. And I always have my dad, who's like the one phone number I've got memorized, him and my mom,
right.
who remembers phone numbers anymore, right? But no, I have his number. He made it super easy for all of his kids to be able to memorize his number. He's had the same one for decades. But to have that support, it's really important. And I think it's just really important that we spread the word when someone gets in jail for whatever the cause, if they're an activist.
Yeah.
In my case, like with this, I don't think it was a grand conspiracy. I think there was a genuine mistake in the court system in Maryland where they're trying to extradite me to. Maybe there was someone who changed it from a non-extraditable warrant to an extraditable warrant in the system. Maybe there's one little thing. Maybe it's just extra scrutiny of activists. You know, when I got arrested, the Secret Service said they knew because they were watching my online presence. They were watching my YouTube channel.
Right.
And knew that I was going to be there. You know, and I've heard, I hate to sound superstitious because I think it's about more than that, but I've been hearing from, a handful of people whose instincts I at least want to listen to, that we're coming to a time when activists are going to face a lot more intense crackdowns.
Oh, no doubt about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
No doubt.
Mm-hmm.
Like we're coming to an actual phase of that. And a lot of people, and I love being able to talk about this at the Free Your Mind conference with the wonderful group we had there in Philly, which is why I'm on the East Coast. So why I was in the East Coast on the East Coast in the first place. I never come back here if I don't have a good reason. Just kidding.
Good to know.
I love everybody on the East Coast. They're so polite. I love coming back. There's a great activism community here. And there was always a great community that backed me up when I had my legal troubles before. And I think there are a lot of people who are getting scared away from activism. And
yeah,
maybe
certainly.
We need to be more cautious about managing our own, personal legal liability. But we really need to look carefully about, how we can stick together as a community, how we can support each other.
Certainly. Adam, thank you for the call. This is Free Talk Live, 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. Your calls and thoughts welcome about whatever is on your mind. But let's talk about pillows. How would you like to try the best pillow that you'll ever use risk-free for 60 days?
I would really like that.
I'm talking about my pillow. It's designed to fit to the shape of your body and hold your neck in the proper position. I've been using it for close to a year, and it is the best pillow I've ever had. And unlike a regular pillow that winds up collecting a lot of dead skin and dirt over the years, you can actually take your MyPillow, throw it in the washing machine, throw it in the dryer, and it's still usable.
Is it still fluffy like a pillow?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, it is.
Do you use a MyPillow too, Chris?
I've had one for probably 3 years. My girlfriend longer than that. She got hers first.
Hold on, you've had the girlfriend longer than the pillow, or the pillow longer than the girlfriend?
Way longer than the pillow. But, she tried it. She loved it because she's always had problems sleeping. So I figured I'd try one out, and I've loved it ever since.
Wow.
And you too can try one out again, risk-free for 60 days. And if you go to MyPillow.com and use code FTL, you can get a second pillow free of charge, or your first pillow. If you only want one, you can get it half price. You want a second one, get it free of charge. And remember, if you don't like it in the first 60 days, you get your money back, and the pillow itself is guaranteed to last 10 years. And you might be asking yourself a question, only now because I'm bringing it up. Yes, MyPillow does make pet pillows as well.
Really?
You can save 30% on the pet pillows. Jazzy the studio dog has a MyPillow.
Of course she does.
And she loves it.
Well, she's cooler than the other side of the pillow.
MyPillow.com, code FTL. Let's go to Rick calling in from Minneapolis. Rick, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead with your thoughts.
I'd like to talk about Bitcoin.
Yeah, sure. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah, great show to do that
I'm a brand new user.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for about a month. It's fucking awesome.
Jeez.
Yeah, thank you for being 12 and cussing. And I'm fairly certain that was the same guy that called in. He just used a different name.
Yeah,
that was definitely the same guy.
Yeah. So
can't swear on the radio.
So that means the other guy was probably not even a real flat earther. He's just calling in to curse on the air.
Probably.
Dang it.
Yes.
You know, we have government regulations. We can't do that.
Thanks, government.
Yes. Thanks, Obama.
It's not entirely Free Talk Live, right? Because we get fined by government.
Isn't that something?
Well, it's actually not us that would wind up getting fined. It would be the 150-plus radio stations that carry Free Talk Live that could possibly get fined.
160-plus. We went up in numbers.
Yeah. Whatever it
happens to be.
Well, 160-plus
is still larger than 150-plus.
So, yes, you are accurate.
If you're listening live on the radio or on the internet, you should call your local radio stations and tell them to pick up Free Talk Live.
Heck yes.
So all your friends in your community can listen to us, too. And they can learn about Bitcoin, and then everyone can use Bitcoin, and we can all be Bitcoin users.
All together.
And it can be fudging awesome.
I love
See?
It.
Improvise.
Ding, ding, ding.
So, speaking of Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies, we'll get into this article in just a moment about the six cryptocurrencies that you need to know about.
There's six of them?
There's hundreds of them.
I'm still trying to figure out the Bitcoin stuff.
There are hundreds.
Lay this on me.
Of virtual currencies. We'll get into the article, but first to Pat calling in from Lake Isabella, California. Pat, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead with your thoughts.
Hi, guys.
Hi, how are you?
I just wanted to mention, good, thank you very much. Mr. Venezuela today, and the fact that they took over the General Motors plant down there.
Yeah, I have that in my show prep. We've just sort of been sidetracked on, we got sidetracked on continuing the cryptocurrency discussion. Headline from Reuters, General Motors says Venezuela illegally seized auto plant. And if you've been listening to Free Talk Live over the last, I would say, couple of years.
Wait, is this the same Venezuelan government that was rationing the bread and stuff like that?
Venezuelan government that seized toys from a toy company claiming that they were price gouging because they were adjusting their prices based on inflation that, according to the IMF, is going to hit 1,600%. And they have to guess because the Venezuelan central government stopped counting inflation last year when it was about 500%.
Yeah. Very bad situation.
International, so that shows you how desperate they are, you know?
Yeah. So what's the recourse for people in countries like Venezuela when it gets to that point?
I will answer that. Revolution or move?
Yeah, I don't know.
Revolution or, you know, is it outside help? I mean, is this one of those things, right? What do you guys think? In a position like that, if you see a country like that, do you think if we're in a position where we could
I have helped, and I'll explain how. Because I know that the Bolivar Fuerte is basically worthless.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that it has a high collector's value, so I went on to eBay.
Right.
And I bought a sizable amount of Bolivar Fuerte from someone
in
Venezuela.
He did, and he actually gave me some.
Yes.
And he's handing it out like Halloween candy.
Yeah, and I know that on the black market, the one Bolivar is worth $1,700 or $2,000 or vice versa,
yeah.
But, you know, it's an astronomical number. And it's constantly fluctuating because of the hyperinflation. You can go to dollartoday.com to find out what the current exchange rate is. But I bought some Bolivar Fuerte at a huge markup from even what the official exchange rate is.
Right, which was still virtually nothing.
Just because I wanted to help someone in Venezuela. I wanted to have someone in Venezuela be able to get some money so that they can afford to eat.
Right, and that's what
that
you
nice
do.
When you
buy Bolivars, you are transferring a currency that still has value down there, say it's U.S. dollars, at least for now, and you're trading it for something that's basically worthless to them. That's good.
Don't you think buying it, though? If the Venezuelan government's that bad, how do they manage to... exchange and business that without government interference? How does the money get to them?
Hold on. So let's say there's a Brazilian business that makes diapers. or toilet paper because they're running out of both in Venezuela.
True.
Aww.
Those companies don't want paid in bolivar. They want paid in something that has value to them. And, well, most countries still accept the U.S. dollar as having value. Most humans around the world realize that the U.S. dollar has a value. So they will accept that when the local currency is worthless. So you've got people actually smuggling products out of Venezuela because they can get more money in a neighboring country because of all the price controls that exist there in Venezuela.
Right.
So when I ordered this, it came wrapped up as if I were buying illegal drugs from the Silk Road.
Right.
It was absolutely amazing unwrapping like five layers of saran wrap on this thing. Patrick, thank you for the call. This is Free Talk Live. Your calls and thoughts welcome. 855-450-FREE.
Ross Ulbricht was convicted in early 2015 of running the infamous Silk Road Underground Market. The Silk Road was a gift to humanity and helped reduce the harms brought on by drug prohibition. For this good deed, Ross has been sentenced to life in prison with no possibility of parole. Now, an appeal is Ross's only chance, and he needs your support. Please visit FreeRoss.org, where you can contribute via various methods, including Bitcoin. Visit FreeRoss.org. That's FreeRoss.org.
This is Free Talk Live, 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. In studio, it's Daryl.
And Heather.
And Chris.
And Chris, we've been teasing this for a while, and, well, no, we're not delaying it any further. I just wanted to see if I could get you going there.
That's all right.
You're finally going to tell us about six of the cryptocurrencies, not named Bitcoin, that we should probably know about.
Yeah.
And you'll give us a reason why we should know about these?
Well,
according to Entrepreneur Magazine.
Yeah. A writer for Entrepreneur will give you his reasons, and I think it's important to bring these names up so we can have a little discussion about them. But Bitcoin's been around for several years. It's certainly the biggest cryptocurrency. It gets lots of press.
Yes.
And we've been talking about that all night. But the first one he brings up is Ethereum. Ethereum, and he goes on to say, rather than competing with Bitcoin like many other cryptocurrencies, Ethereum complements it. While the Bitcoin blockchain network tracks ownership of its own currency, the Ethereum blockchain runs programming codes for its users' applications. So let's talk a little bit about blockchain, because that phrase is going to come up a lot. Blockchain is really the fundamental technology behind all these cryptocurrencies. And the best way that I've heard it described is it is a ledger.
Yes.
It's
a public ledger.
That's the way
that is distributed and decentralized.
Right. So everybody involved in Ethereum can hold their own copy of this distributed ledger that everybody can see and everybody can read, so they can all verify that.
And
to see this ledger?
If you download the full Bitcoin wallet or the full Ethereum wallet.
Not the wallet, the node. You need to either download a node, or there are also blockchain viewers online.
What's the difference?
Well, a blockchain viewer is a website, so blockchain.info.
Right.
Is that like the stock market, but for Bitcoin?
No.
It's a way to actually look at the ledger, look at individual wallets.
So seeing which transactions are being made.
Yep.
Right.
You can see it all in real time.
Blockchain.info is probably the one that's been around for the longest. So you can go there and pull up any wallet ID that you know, and it will show you any transactions that have ever occurred for that wallet.
Ever. Yep.
And
only if you have to know which wallet you're talking about first, though, right?
Sure.
So if you are specifically inquiring about a particular wallet.
Or you could also just pull up, I want to see what happened in the last block that wound up being mined.
Right.
And then just click on any of those addresses, and you can see every transaction that has ever happened for those addresses. Now, the thing is, you don't know necessarily who any of those addresses belong to.
But
you don't know why somebody sent 3.7519742 Bitcoin somewhere.
Right. Wait, I have a question.
Go ahead.
So let's say you and I did a Bitcoin transaction,
yes.
Daryl, right? And I have two codes, right? Like, or that generates one code or two code, like one for me, one for you, or well, is it the same one, but we share that one individual
the
code?
The transaction itself would be written onto the blockchain.
On the ledger,
there would
though.
Be
like
one,
what would the ledger show if you and me
it
made
would
a
show,
transaction?
An amount of Bitcoin coming from one or more wallets going to one or more wallets.
Okay, and your wallet has an individual number, and my wallet has an individual number.
Yes,
but
correct.
Those numbers never change, right? So if I knew
they
your
can.
Wallet
well,
number,
hold on. No,
they,
the numbers don't change, but I could have my wallet change and
right,
give me
so
a new number.
So my wallet. I have several wallets on my phone.
Okay.
And what the Bitcoin wallet software that I use, I can reuse the same Bitcoin wallet, or I can have it generate a new wallet for every transaction.
Which is what I do.
So you may not necessarily know.
So you can
know.
Set it up to generate a new wallet. So that's what I'm saying. My
right.
question,
so
what I was
getting
at.
You might not necessarily know that a transaction came from Daryl unless you were physically there knowing that I sent the transaction.
Okay,
and as complex as all this is, that is why all of these cryptocurrencies, they talk a little bit about privacy.
Right.
And while if you're dedicated, and Heather seems very dedicated right now
to trace this
transaction between Daryl and Heather, it becomes very complicated. It doesn't mean that it's impossible because you
right.
absolutely can trace a transaction
what
or
I'm
a
saying,
Bitcoin from point A to point B, but it gets really difficult.
Okay,
so it gives you a little bit of protection.
Let me ask you another question.
Sure.
I'm having fun here. All right, so my little Bitcoin wallet on my phone, the app I downloaded where I got that $10, right?
Yep.
If I just use that one wallet, I never, you know, have very much Bitcoin, so I always keep like a little amount in there.
Mm-hmm.
If I never change my wallet, does anybody I do business with, they have my wallet number so they can go on that little ledger thing and look at everything that I've done?
I could see your balance, and yes, I could see all your transactions.
Okay.
It's public.
That's what, okay, so what is the recourse then? Like, how do you, I mean, I don't really care if anybody knows I buy sweet potato fries from Local
nobody
Burger,
knows
you know what I mean?
What you're, nobody knows what you're buying. They don't know
right.
who the money is
going
to.
But they could
to.
If Local Burger never changes their wallet,
but,
right? Then everyone's,
hold on,
you can
hold
have
on,
these like,
but,
it's kind of like the card counters at casinos, on. Right? You're going to have these Bitcoin like. Wallet readers.
The burger place. The burger place that you mentioned, they use a payment processor for accepting payments, so they do have a new
wallet
every transaction.
So people like in businesses and stuff, does
sure.
it always do that?
Yeah.
And
yes.
it generates a new one?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, so nobody's
yours?
Going sure. to necessarily know when I go spend money at Chris's
you
store. Said, nobody's going to necessarily know when I go buy something at Local Burger unless they know, oh, Daryl goes to
right.
this burger place on Sundays. This must have been a transaction, but they don't know if I got chicken strips
right.
or a hamburger.
Now, me, from a business owner's point of view, all I have to do is wait for a notification from the blockchain that when Daryl comes in and buys his honey every couple of weeks, you know, in a literally in 10 or 15, less than that, like 3 seconds, I will see the transaction hit the blockchain, and I know that I can say, okay, Daryl, here's your honey. Off you go.
So
thank you very much.
Let's shift away from the blockchain to the Skype, where we've got Liberty Phoenix calling in from Chicagoland. Phoenix, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead with your thoughts.
Good evening, gentlemen and lady. My call is in regards to the Bitcoin fork. I understand that it's created. You've got the Bitcoin Core and Bitcoin Unlimited, which, just as a little side note, kind of sound like, you know, buzzword tagline advertising things to me. Just kind of doesn't really make any
right.
real sense why they would call it those different things. But I understand that it's supposed to make transaction times, you know, less than the ridiculousness that it's been, and transaction fees lower than, like, you know, what they've needed to be like almost $5 for some people these days.
Well, depends on the transaction.
Depends on the transaction, and the way the fees are determined are based on kilobytes of data. And I believe you were on hold when I was mentioning the thing to where money will come from one or more wallets to one or more wallets. It's akin to if you go to the store and let's say, you know, the cashier says your total is $12. If you hand over 12 singles, then that's more data being transmitted than if you hand over a $10 bill and a $2 bill. Mm-hmm. So the way they calculate the transaction is based on little pieces of data. So if you've got money coming from a bunch of different wallets, that takes more data to wind up making the one transaction, which is why some transactions wind up costing 40, 50, 65 cents or more. And as you mentioned, could be up to $5 for a really huge transaction if it's coming from a bunch of different sources.
Yeah.
But as far as the technical on hard fork, soft fork, that's above my pay scale and my understanding level. But I would suggest check out the forums at forum.bitcoin.com. They're supporters of the Bitcoin Unlimited. They could give you more information on that. Liberty Phoenix, thank you for the call. Your calls and thoughts, welcome. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. This is Free Talk Live. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. Possibly time for you and your thoughts if you call in now. And the Libertarian Party of New Hampshire is going out to the ball games, sponsoring the New Hampshire Fisher Cats on June 10th. You can join the LPNH in the new pavilion with access to a private portion of the bar and an all-you-can-eat buffet. Now, this is targeted to people that are either in or planning to travel to the Northeast. Tickets are $40 and do need to be purchased by May 9th. Get your tickets at lpnh.org/FTL. Come have a great evening out with the Libertarian Party of New Hampshire and the New Hampshire Fisher Cats. LPNH will have a group outing to see the Fisher Cats play the current Eastern League champion Akron Rubber Ducks on Saturday, June 10th, 7:05 p.m., with fireworks following the game. And bring your lightsaber, because it's Star Wars night.
Nice.
The group includes seating, again, in the new pavilion with access to a private portion of the bar and an all-you-can-eat buffet. Tickets, again, $40, need to be purchased by May 9th. Get your tickets at lpnh.org/FTL. Let's go to the phones, and we've got Sarah calling in from Albuquerque. Sarah, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead with your thought.
Yes, it's been predicted that 30,000 million hybrid electric cars are expected to be sold next year. Just in 1 year, this is what they're predicting.
I need to do the math for you on that. So 30,000 million would be 30 billion cars.
I don't know. Is that 30,000 million?
Yep.
30,000 million.
Yep. 30,000 million would be 30 billion cars.
Which means that every man, woman, and child on the planet would buy four hybrid cars each.
A little less. Yeah, I think.
Well, there's 7 billion people.
Is it 7? Yeah. So four and a little money left over.
Oh, man, I can't wait for my new hybrid car. Somebody's going to be buying me one.
They get four of them, though.
I get
Sarah,
four.
Sarah, where did you get this information?
You know what? I think this was like 6 o'clock in the morning at NPR News.
Okay, so 6 o'clock in the morning on NPR News. And today is 420.
Sounds like hashtag fake news.
So I think somebody may have been puffing on some of the green smoky smoke.
I don't think so. I think it was probably early and just might have heard that wrong.
Tonight.
There could have been 30 million. I doubt. Yeah. Worldwide, maybe that's a real number.
Could have been 30,000.
I don't know.
Either
could
way.
Could have been a particular company expected to sell 30,000.
Well, the point is I suspect for all the wrong reasons, a lot of hybrid cars are going to be sold.
Yes. Right, because you get all kinds of tax credits.
Yes, and that's my big issue with that and electronic cars, electric cars, and things like that.
Oh, yeah.
If these things were feasible at this point in their evolution, then we would not need government to take money from some people to give to other people so they buy cars that they like.
I've got the solution. We make all of the electric cars run on the blockchain. And then
yes,
it's suddenly okay, right? Because blockchains?
If you just say blockchains, actually, then it makes it all good.
I don't have a grasp of the blockchain technology enough to know if you guys are being like facetious. Or
not. Oh, I'm being totally facetious.
You're getting it. But you totally understand. It's okay.
Eventually, if I pick your guys' brains for another couple of weeks, I might.
There are some libertarians.
Maybe able to sell Bitcoin, the idea of Bitcoin to people.
And I'll get into this when we talk a little bit more about Ethereum. But there are some people that think, well, if we take this horrible idea and put it on the blockchain, suddenly it's not a horrible idea because there's a blockchain.
Yeah.
One of those things, Ethereum being one of the largest proponents, is so-called smart contracts, which are actually kind of dumb contracts because it takes any sort of thought out of the contract.
Well,
and let me explain why I say that.
Okay, I was going to explain a little bit about what sort of Ethereum does for those who don't know.
Okay.
The idea behind Ethereum is that if you have a contract, if both sides agree to the terms of the contract, and if it's written into the code of the Ethereum blockchain, then when condition A and condition B are met, then that transaction is just going to take place.
Or if condition A is not met, then condition B goes into effect.
Right. So you can write all these sort of complex logic questions into it.
Can you give an example?
Yes. Here's an example. I borrow one Ethereum from Chris, and I will pay you back in exactly 6 weeks.
Right.
So that would be June 1st, roughly.
Whatever.
Yep. At 9:53 p.m.
Yep.
If on June 1st at 9:40, I say, hey, Chris, I'm running late. I'm not going to be near my computer for another half hour. Can I pay you when I get onto my computer? Chris says, yeah, that's fine. Well, unfortunately, I'm not on my computer to go in and authorize a change to the smart contract. So therefore, whatever condition was supposed to be triggered if I failed to meet the deadline gets triggered. So it totally eliminates common sense and human thought.
That is the argument, one of many arguments against the use of smart contracts. But there are, I think you would admit that there are cases where this can work for some things. Now, we tend to focus on the most, what may be the most unlikely, but Ethereum also suffered a major hit when somebody found a problem not with the code of Ethereum, but with the way a smart contract was written.
Yes.
They took advantage of it, and they pretty much emptied everything that was in Ethereum out of it.
There was a story from a few years ago to where some guy had set up some kind of thing akin to a smart contract. It was basically like a kill switch to where if I don't check into this particular account in X number of days, then it automatically winds up believing I'm dead and then triggers all of these things. The guy forgot to log in.
Nice.
And so then, his bank was notified.
His obituary went out. Nice.
Yeah, a bunch of stuff happened. And then the guy had to.
Cryptocurrency stuff is really going over my head. We've been talking about it the bulk of the show. So I've been struggling really hard to
let's drop
get
smart
on you guys' level.
I know. Well, let's drop smart contracts. Let's talk about the next one they bring up, which is called Ripple. While other cryptocurrencies.
Next one they mention is Litecoin.
Oh, I'm sorry. I did skip one.
Which is basically like Bitcoin, but a lot faster. And, the code, as implied by the name, is lighter.
What do you
lighter.
Mean faster? Bitcoin doesn't run, Daryl.
It is. It's just because it's.
What do you mean it's faster?
It is the most popular than
but
transactions.
How is it faster?
The transactions on, or rather the block reward, which is what is being mined, In Bitcoin, the mining happens about every 10 minutes.
So if you don't mine, though, then that's an irrelevant perk.
No. No, because your transaction has to be attached to a block that gets mined.
We're getting way into the weeds for your average listener.
Right.
But we'll talk about it. No, no, it's not.
The blocks come every 2.5 minutes, so it's four times as fast as far as confirmations and the mining.
But in practicality, while Bitcoin's price is somewhere around, $1,200
right now.
$1,200, somewhere in that neighborhood. Mm-hmm. I think the price of a Litecoin is around 10 or 20.
Probably.
Yeah.
10 or 20
so it is. Dollars? If you think of Bitcoin as kind of the gold, then you can think of Litecoin as kind of the silver. It's often described that way, and it is very useful. The next one they bring up is called Ripple. While other cryptocurrencies avoid banks, Ripple embraces them. In fact, Ripple was made for banks as it allows them to make faster, low-cost, on-demand global payments of any size. Traditional cross-border transactions requiring banks to go through an intermediary, or often several, which delays completion. Ripple offers a faster and more direct alternative. So Ripple is one of those cryptocurrencies that banks are looking at and they're considering instead of sort of developing their own. That Ripple hopes to be sort of the common communications link between banks.
But Ripple also, as I understand it, and maybe they've changed this, they sort of discouraged spending. Because you actually had to burn a certain amount of Ripple that would then just cease to exist. So that after a certain amount of time, when you know a certain number of transactions had been made, Ripple was not usable because there was no more Ripple. The others here, and I will post the link on the Facebook and the Twitter, Dash, Zcash, and Monero, all very exciting, privacy-oriented to some degree currencies. That's it for tonight, but we are always online at freetalklive.com.
If you want to move to the free state and you're looking for some real estate, well, I know a guy who's really great. It's the Realtor Mark Warden.
Looking for a great real estate investment? Consider New Hampshire, which is ground zero for the Liberty Movement. Your first call should be to Mark Warden from Porcupine Real Estate. He's more than just a real estate agent. He's your New Hampshire concierge. Where are the best places to live? Do you want farm, city, the burbs, or forest? Do you want a duplex or multifamily building so that renters pay your mortgage? There are homes in all price ranges in New Hampshire, and Mark can help with financing, too. Invest in liberty and property. Mark Warden can help.
PorcupineRealEstate.com.